becoming. It's like trying to squeeze into the snow pants you wore as a kid when you're 36 years old. Not so comfy after all. Yet we do it all the time because even though they cut off our circulation and hold us back from who we so desperately want to become, the puffy pants are familiar, cozy, and feel safer than trying on an outfit we've never worn before. We are so attached to the unhelpful familiar, in fact, that we will spend our valuable, very finite time here on Earth crafting excuses to keep ourselves right where we are, instead of leaping into the glorious unknown and growing into who we're really meant to be. The walls of your comfort zone are lovingly decorated with your lifelong collection of favorite excuses. Love your little prince for being a great pal by trying to protect you, but it's time to step into your power, put on your grown-up crown, and take your kingdom back. Along with our overbearing little prince, the quest for earthly security holds people back from living the lives of their dreams more than almost anything else. And the ridiculous part is, it doesn't even exist. People will spend lifetimes slogging it out in secure jobs they hate, staying in relationships with people they don't like rather than risk being alone, never spending money on anything fun in order to save it for a rainy day. Meanwhile, we are flying through outer space in an infinite universe on a planet prone to earthquakes and plagues and ice ages. That secure job at that secure company could dry up. Some lunatic could run up and start beating you to death with a tree branch. Anything could happen at any time. Now, of course, focusing on this wouldn't be helpful in living a productive or happy life, because we'd be crouched under tables and clinging to buildings while trying to walk down the street. But I'm reminding you of it in hopes of liberating you from the pointless, oftentimes life-sucking trap of sacrificing living your dreams for false security. To free your heart up to follow your joy and ride the wave of awesomeness instead of limiting yourself and playing it safe. Trying to protect yourself from your fears protects you from experiencing a fully evolved and juicy life. I'm not talking about putting yourself in harm's way, poo-pooing safety precautions, or acting like an irresponsible maniac. Screw it. We're all going down anyway. Let's cash in the kids' college funds, buy a bunch of blow, and drive to Mexico. I'm talking about freeing yourself up to thrive in abundance instead of living life clinging to your fears. I'm talking about focusing on your heart's desires, on infinite possibility, on enjoying the crap out of your life instead of worrying about what you might lose. Be responsible. Put money aside for the future. Wear your seatbelt. Make big, fun plans with your friends and family. Don't walk through shady neighborhoods alone. Invest your money wisely. Exercise your body and your mind. Practice safe sex. Don't smoke cigarettes or get drunk in public and badmouth your neighbors. Act as if you've got a long, happy life on Earth ahead of you. But do not shrink back from something you desire because it's too risky. Just being alive is risky. Allow yourself to experience whatever your heart desires, as if this is your one and only chance to take the ride of your life. Words. Our perception of reality is also greatly influenced by our words. Words bring our thoughts and beliefs to life and help anchor them into our realities through repetition. Words help us form identities. We get attached to our lingo, our shtick. My memory is crap. I left the keys in my front door again. What a tube! The more you tell yourself you are a forgetful tube, the more you will believe it, and hence act like a forgetful tube. You tell a kid that she's stupid enough times and she'll believe she is, even if she just taught herself to read in Chinese. I told myself pretty much every day for 40 years that I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life and, as a result, remained in the fetal position of hopelessness and confusion for decades. Had I replaced the phrase, I don't know, with clues are all around me, I would have opened myself up to receive tidbits of clarity instead of slamming the door on Lord knows how many golden opportunities. What comes out of your mouth comes into your life. Because we are creatures of habit who tend to have our words on repeat, they become like a chisel that forms grooves in our minds, playing the same stories over and over, anchoring in our thoughts and beliefs, and defining our reality. Our words are like water flowing over rocks. Over time, they have the power to create grooves the size of the Grand Canyon. This is what I love about the phrase, stuck in a rut. You're literally stuck in a rut or a groove of thought, beliefs, and words. And in order to free yourself, you need to consciously create a new groove. And a great place to start is by getting yourself some new, better words. Language defines and shapes our perception of reality by giving it an understandable structure. We create and reinforce boundaries around time, for example, talking about what we did yesterday, how tomorrow can't come fast enough, and how someday I'm going to start eating healthy, but right now I'm going to explore what a cheeseburger tastes like with a slab of butter on it, etc. Meanwhile, according to Einstein, time is an illusion. It's flexible, nonlinear, and the whole 24 hours in a day thing is a giant hoax. We've all heard this before, yet we are a staunch 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year kind of culture. And this is made real by our language. The Hopi people, who perceive the world more in tune with Einstein's findings, have no words in their language to express the past or the future, because they basically exist in the now. In fact, they don't even have a word for now, because to step back and call it something would take them out of the moment. There are countless realms of reality, and the words we use wrap us up nice and tightly into whichever perception we're participating in. Words also have an incredibly persuasive effect on us. Think about how incredible it is when someone speaks directly to what you're feeling or thinking or fearing. The right words spoken at the right time can make you feel recognized on a deep soul level and can be so powerful as to inspire entire nations of smart people to vote idiots into office or a whole community to drink lethal Kool-Aid. So start paying attention and notice if you're repeatedly announcing how much you hate, fear, mistrust money via language, such as, I'm an idiot when it comes to money. I could never afford that. I hate that rich bastard, etc. If you're bad-mouthing money, you're going to want to go ahead and knock that off. Thoughts. Your thoughts inspire emotions that inspire action that forms your reality. When I was little, we lived next door to a family with a bunch of kids close to my age. Their parents were German, and while I was playing at their house one day a couple weeks before Christmas, they let me in on some very valuable information. Apparently, not only were there presents to be had under the tree on the 25th of December, but there was another holiday they celebrated in Germany at the beginning of the month called St. Nicholas's Day. And if you left your shoe outside overnight, it would be full of presents the next morning. Hello? I immediately went home and picked out the biggest shoe I had, a clog. Waited 9 million years for the rest of the day to go by and dinner to finally be over, so I could sneak outside and leave my clog right next to the front door as instructed. As I lay in bed that night, listening to my parents clean the kitchen, my heart suddenly leapt out of my chest at the sound of the front door opening and the dog being called. In a matter of moments, my name was being called too. Jennifer, get your butt down here right now! My mother was standing at the bottom of the steps, waving my clog over her head, demanding to know how it ended up outside. I mumbled something about taking it off and forgetting to bring it in, apologized, and slinked back upstairs with my freezing cold shoe. Great. Now I'd have to sneak out again after they went to bed and risk getting in twice as much trouble. Yet, as serious an offense as it was a brand new clog on top of everything else, and as grave as the repercussions would no doubt be, it was totally worth the risk, because presents. The story ends with me getting no presents, getting busted again thanks to the stupid dog, who needed to be let out early to pee, and being put on a full month of hamster cage cleaning duty, as well as dishwasher emptying duty, made all the worse by the glee it brought my newly chore-free siblings. We are creatures who are driven by emotion. When we're all fired up, we ain't listening to nothing else. not wisdom and logic or fear and doubt. Our emotions compel us to participate in staggering displays of both the magnificent and the moronic. We will flip over parked cars in the street when our team wins the World Cup, date people covered in red flags, spend hundreds of dollars on a beautiful pair of shoes that don't fit, risk a second round of scolding from our parents for leaving our clogs outside, etc. We will also accept an exciting new job that we're unqualified for, overcome our fear of flying to visit a friend in need, step onto a stage in front of hundreds even though we're terrified, go into the red to launch the business of our dreams, etc. You cannot have an emotion without having a thought first. Example, we won. I love my friend. I want to be my own boss. When you learn to master your mindset and focus on thoughts that elicit strong, positive emotions, you wield your power to take crazy leaps of faith in spite of your fears and your little prince trying to hold you back. It all starts with your thoughts. They are the catalyst that brings on the shift that changes what you believe and how you act. To get a better idea of what I'm talking about, here's a breakdown of how your mindset works. Your beliefs are driving the bus. They take you where you're going, whether you're paying attention or not. Your thoughts are the tour guide, the person up front with the microphone and the clipboard. She can lean over and yank the wheel, slam on the brakes, step on the gas, flip the bus. She can do whatever, whenever she wants. She usually works in harmony with your beliefs, but she has all the veto power. Your words are the assistant to your thoughts and beliefs. Your words back them up, voice their opinions, anchor in their message, keep it real. Your emotions are the fuel. They are ignited by your thoughts and can change your beliefs and the direction of your life. Without emotions, you're going nowhere new and exciting. Your actions build the road. They pave the path for your beliefs, but will reroute should thoughts and emotions make a change of plans and decide they want to stop at Dairy Queen or something. When all these facets of your mind, body, and spirit are in alignment, focused on the same desire, singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall as they merrily roll along, you can manifest all the riches you desire. But if you're thinking about how much you'd love to make an extra $5,000 a month and how you have no idea how to do it, if you're feeling terrified and extremely doubtful, believing that people won't take you seriously, yourself included, if you're saying out loud, "I love money and it comes to me easily," every morning in the mirror, and if you're making one sales call per day after which you give up and crack open a beer, you ain't gonna get very far. All members of Team Mindset must be on the field bringing their A game. Yet it's your thoughts, and I hate to play favorites here, that are the biggest badasses of them all. In order to get your thoughts working at their max potential, let's take a look at some of the most common beliefs about money that we often unconsciously accept as the truth and blab away about all the live long day. Pay attention to which of these remind you of something you may have heard yourself thinking or saying, because awareness is the first key step in breaking the spell of your not-so-awesome financial reality. Here's the drill. Become aware of what your limiting thoughts and beliefs are. Question and investigate them. Rewrite them, say it out loud and proud. I'm going to do this for the first few so you can see how it works. Unhelpful thought: money can't buy happiness. Question: what makes me happy? Answer: hanging out with the people I love, grilled cheese sandwiches, being loved and loving others, laughing my ass off, giving great gifts, traveling, hiking, playing with my dog, taking road trips, listening to music, drinking beer, having my own business, leaving huge tips, freedom, getting massages. Question: does having money help me achieve any of these happy things? Answer: yes. Rewritten thought: money supports my happiness. Unhelpful thought: I'd rather focus on having fun than making money. Question: is it fun when you make money? Answer: yes, when I make it, it's fun, but what I have to do to make it isn't fun. Question: would it be worth your time, during your one and only life, to find or create an occupation that is fun? Answer: yes. Question: Do you understand that anything you set your mind to is possible, even having a job that is lucrative and fun? Answer: yes. Rewritten thought: I make making money fun. Even if you're not 100% on board with believing these new stories yet, do you feel how much more emotionally uplifting they are than their original sad sack versions? Do you understand how shifting the narrative with the same diligence a mechanic might replace a busted carburetor isn't a bunch of pain-in-the-ass busy work, but something that can help you make real transformation in your life? Here are some other commonly held beliefs that are real winners, and that may sound familiar to you. Pick whichever ones sound like something you'd think or say and reframe them. You can't be rich and spiritual. Money isn't important. People are. Never go into debt. Save your money for a rainy day. Rich people are lucky, gross, selfish, entitled, snobby, shallow, egomaniacs, holier than thou. You have to work hard to make money. You can't make money doing X, whatever you love to do. I'm too irresponsible, lazy, clueless to make money. It's not polite to talk about money. It's important to have a good, secure job. If you get excited by making money, it means you're shallow. Money doesn't grow on trees. You must go to a good college to make money. Money causes stress. There's never enough money. Money is trouble. I don't want to be a sellout. You have to sacrifice having a good, fun life to make money. Money is out of my reach. You have champagne tastes on a beer pocketbook. Always have a backup plan. It's lonely at the top. Who has that kind of money? He or she is only about the money. Imagine walking around experiencing similarly icky thoughts and feelings for something just as omnipresent as money. For example, what if you thought these things about the sky? The sky is the root of all evil. It's not polite to talk about the sky. Loving the sky makes me a bad person. The sky turns otherwise decent people into pigs. You'd barely be able to leave your house, let alone relish the joys of life. When you, consciously or unconsciously, resent money or cling to your limiting beliefs about money or refuse to participate in making money, it does not serve you, it does not make you more noble, it does not help you or anyone else. What it does is put you on a hunger strike by cutting you off from that which you need not only to survive, but to thrive. By embracing money and getting into the flow, you open yourself up to the abundance that is trying to reach you this very moment. Success story. If she can do it, so can you. Here's a great story from Sandra, 44, who put more faith in what she desired to believe than what she was raised to believe. I used to live in my truck in the Midwest. I now live in my dream beach house in California and am a successful actress. My main limiting belief around money was that if I made lots of it, my life would get too complicated and I wouldn't know how to handle it. You know, math, taxes, investments, etc. I was afraid that money, beyond necessity for the day, week, or month, would be more than I could understand or control. I didn't feel smart enough or good enough, blah, blah, yawn. Step one, I got up and did the work. Thoughts and beliefs are key. I got clear about my fears around money and hammered myself with new beliefs like, I love and approve of myself. I am open to all the good and abundance of the universe. I know what I'm doing. I deserve success and respect and awards and money and the best the world has to offer. There is plenty of money and prolific prosperity for everyone, especially me. Step two, I aligned with mentors and hired people who knew how to handle the stuff I didn't know about, was scared of, or disinterested in. I focused on being me, creating and delivering something of value to the world. I let other people handle the selling of it, the business of it, the legal of it, but kept my eyes open so I didn't get screwed out of what was mine. Step three, I fell down and got back up more times than I ever imagined. I'm still falling down and learning how to get back up. Success is not an end-of-the-road game. It's a never-ending road game. I am practicing seeing and feeling the success fully, as if it's already done, won, and in the bank. Love yourself because you are the only one of you ever. Do something badass with the you you have got. Even if people think you're crazy. Whatever it is you decide to do, do it with joy, gumption, and dedication, so it will be your moneymaker and your merrymaker. To get rich. Suggested money mantra. Say it, write it, feel it, own it. I love money, and money loves me. 1. List the 5 main things you remember your parents telling you about money. 2. Take any negative thoughts that come up for you in the first step above and break them down, as I showed you how to do earlier in this chapter. 3. Rewrite your new truths about money. 4. Take the new truth that has the most charge for you and write it down every morning and every night. Feel it in your bones, repeat it in your head as often as possible, say it out loud, keep hammering yourself with it until it sinks in. 5. Notice how you've been clinging to security in a way that's holding you back in any part of your life. This could be dating someone who you know isn't the right person, never letting yourself spend your money on something fun, doing anything that bores you to tears because you want to be liked. You feel you should. You'll be judged if you don't. Being scared to tell your blabbermouth neighbor that stopping by unannounced is unacceptable, etc. Find something that's not serving you, that you've been scared to let go of, because of the security it provides, and take the first step in letting it go. This is large, Marge, so if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, stick with it until you do. It could make a gigantic shift in all areas of your life. Please fill in the blank. I'm grateful to money because. Chapter 2A. A tiny but mighty chapter about universal intelligence. There is no lack of opinions and theories when it comes to the universal intelligence that created and continues to create all that exists. Some people call this mighty power God, some call it spirit, some call it a load of crap. If you're one of those people who happens to be skeptical about buying into such woo-hoo-ery, and you desire to get rich, I strongly suggest you put your grouchiness aside and agree to take some new beliefs for a spin. Because not only could you very possibly see gigantic results by partying down with universal intelligence, but I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, you already sort of believe in it. You believe in something, somewhere. Whether it's fate, or luck, or divine intervention, you've knocked on wood before. You've said a prayer when your team's about to lose, or you suddenly notice blue and red flashing lights in your rearview mirror. You've thanked someone named God before, or stuck an, oh my, before his name, while watching a video of an old lady jump over a pile of her grandkids on a skateboard. You've gotten a magically knowing hint from somewhere. I don't know what made me think to stop off at Mom's house on the way home, but if I hadn't, she'd still be lying on the floor. You've caught a glimpse that there might be something out there that you can't totally wrap your head around that is participating in our lives with us. You've felt it tickle the hairs along the back of your neck. Even if it's just the tiniest smidgen of recognition, you've said howdy to universal intelligence. The reason I'm insisting on this is because once you acknowledge that there's a force larger than your physical self at play in your life, you can start working with the highfalutin and limitless power of the universe to make some money around here. We've been taught to treat the information delivered to us via our 5 physical senses as the truth. Meanwhile, without sounding like an ingrate for all the awesomeness provided by my eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue, seriously, guys, huge thanks. These senses of ours are limited. Our senses provide only a certain scope of information limited by the reach of those senses. For example, our sense of smell is far inferior to a dog's. A dog can smell a package of salami being opened the second the seal is broken, from the other room, while sleeping. Bats can totally make fun of us right in front of our faces at frequencies too high for us to hear. Cats and their bionic night vision will always beat us in an after-dark obstacle course competition. Most people define their reality from the confines of what their five senses tell them, but there is so much more going on, like, say, an infinite, eternal universe worth of stuff. Just like electricity and gravity, two things that impact our everyday lives that we don't actually see, that few of us understand, and that, hello, everyone believes in anyway, universal intelligence and the power of our thoughts are real and affecting our lives every single moment. You show your faith in gravity by not flinging yourself off roofs, and your faith in electricity by not picking at a light socket with a fork. You may not understand the intricacies of how it all works, but still, you're totally down with following the rules. I want to encourage you to follow suit with the information I'm giving you now. Put it into practice as you embark on becoming rich and let the results speak for themselves. Because trust me, once you start experiencing how powerful your thoughts and universal intelligence are, even though you may not totally grasp the entire WTF of everything involved, you'll be down with the program when you're rolling in the dough. We live in a universe that is made up of energy. Everything is vibrating, moving, changing, and buzzing. This goes for all that's visible as well as all that's unseen. This book, microwaves, your car, a brick, thoughts, money, words, a rock, a peck of pickled peppers, etc. One of the ways we interpret this energy is via our five senses. Our eyes pick up on light energy, our ears translate sound waves, our touch interprets energy as solid mass, etc. But this is only an interpretation of reality, and a limited one at that. This interpretation of our reality is also run through the filter of the belief system we've formed via all the information we've picked up over the course of our lives. Between our five physical senses and the truth blueprint created by our belief system, our perception of reality is, shall we say, a tad limited. Here's the thing that makes me so excited to be alive on planet Earth as a human being with a conscious mind. We have the power to participate in the realm of reality that goes far beyond what our truth blueprint tells us, what our five senses tell us, or even what a dog's, cat's, or bat's senses tell them. And the way we blast beyond this limited realm is with our thoughts. Nothing happens or comes to be without being thought first. Our staggering solar system, your favorite song, the amount of money in your bank account, all of it. Our thoughts are linked to the invisible energy that makes up all that is, and they help mold it into that which we experience on the physical plane. And here's the real humdinger. Universal intelligence and your thoughts are basically the same force. Just as the water droplet that lands in the ocean is part of the whole sea, so your thoughts exist as part of universal intelligence. In other words, you are one powerful motherfucker. The invisible world creates the visible world. The more conscious you are about thinking powerful thoughts, and the less you're caught up in the limited aspects of the illusion created by your five senses and your truth blueprint, the more in tune and connected you are to universal intelligence, and the more ease you will have in getting rich. The way you communicate with and stay connected to universal intelligence amidst the distractions and mayhem of your daily doings is through two types of thought, outgoing thought and incoming thought. Outgoing thought. We are the only creatures on Earth with the power of conscious thought, and we use it to mold our realities and our paychecks by alerting universal intelligence that this is how it is. Universal intelligence created all that is and all that will be, and your thoughts are how you use your free will to harness the power of universal intelligence to mold your reality. If you send out thoughts like, I can't afford to go on vacation, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, the universe is like, noted, you can't afford it, stuck at home it is. Just as your thoughts created the financial reality you're experiencing right now, you can also use them to overpower what is to manifest whatever reality you set your mind to. And I mean, whatever you set your mind to. This is because everything you can think of already exists in the universe. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to think it. I know, bananas, but stay with me here. All information, physical, mental, and spiritual, originates from the same source, universal intelligence. Where are your thoughts before they come into your mind? Where is the flower that grows out of the teeny tiny seed? Where is the reality of you doubling your income with your awesome new cat costume business? All of this already exists in the energetic realm, and it's through our minds and how our mindset inspires us to take action that the new reality is made to manifest on the physical plane. If you can think a thought, that thought already exists. And since all things come from universal intelligence, that thought must exist in a physical form as well. If you have a desire to make $50,000, that money, and the way for you to make it, already exists. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to think it up in the first place, because the thought of the money and the money itself are the same stuff. This concept is a 3,897-page book with a prayer mat and a bucket of ayahuasca thrown in, but for the sake of our work here, this is the gist of how universal intelligence works. Your thoughts dictate the truth. So if you're presently living in your mother's basement, working at the chicken shack down the road for $7.95 an hour, and you fixate your thoughts with unwavering determination on owning your own 200-acre chicken farm and a Cadillac, that chicken farm and sweet ride are your truth. Your thoughts alert universal intelligence to start arranging the energy in such a way as to make your desires manifest in physical form. You need to learn how to see and receive the new opportunities that will lead you to your goal, which we will go into more deeply later. Your thoughts also trigger your emotions, which get you off your ass to take action, and your reality begins to shift. This is how people in wheelchairs climb mountains, and those who grow up in extreme poverty become rich. They consider their thoughts to be the truth, regardless of how their reality may appear. Get all worked up into an excited tizzy about it, and make it happen. They use the power that all of us have to create what they desire, instead of settling for what they see surrounding them. Opportunity is in the eye of the beholder. Mastering the mindset of wealth is choosing to think about money and your reality in relation to money in a way that will make you rich, not keep you poor. When you consciously focus your thoughts on the wealth you desire, imagine yourself rolling around on a big old leaf pile of Benjamins. Feel how right and good and exciting it feels to be in the financial flow. You arrange the energy around you and within you to vibrate at a high frequency. And, as a result, your reality mirrors back to you high-frequency opportunities and things. You can feel this energy. It literally lifts your spirits and pulls into your radar all the high-frequency opportunities and things you shut yourself off from when you're all low-vibe and sad-sacky about your wimpy bank account, your lack of job options, your botched attempt at trying to get a raise, etc. Meanwhile, thinking about how amazing it's going to feel paying off your $15,000 credit card debt, telling yourself, "I'm so grateful this card is paid off in full, I can hardly stand it," over and over, writing out an actual check for the precise amount to pay it off, and looking at it every day, all of these thoughts arrange the energy around you to vibrate at a higher frequency and to take the physical form of that which you're focused on, $15,000. These positive thoughts release your resistance to having the money come in. You're on board, you're believing it, you're feeling it, you're loving it. Once resistance is gone, you're back into your natural state of flow. There's no doubt and fear cluttering up your energy, and the universe can deliver you the riches you desire. Incoming thought. The universe is constantly showing up, cup of coffee in hand, wanting to discuss how to increase your finances and offer a helping hand. It connects with you via your intuition. I just know in my gut that I should buy this house, even though it costs way more than what I wanted to spend. It still feels right. via synchronicity. I wonder whatever happened to Janet from cooking class. Oh, look, there she is, calling me, right now. Via inspiration. Check out this awesome idea for a song that just popped into my head out of nowhere. Via desire. I just know I'm meant to be rich, even though none of my screenplays have sold yet. Via coincidence. I just opened a book to the perfect page. It's exactly what I needed to read. If you are truly committed to kicking ass, you'll want to strengthen your relationship with the universe in the following ways. Learn to quiet your mind and receive the information it's trying to send you. Trust that this information, aka your intuition, provides all the answers you're seeking, no matter how terrifying, bananas, unacceptable they may seem. Surrender and have faith that when you bravely head into the unknown, the universe has your back. Accept that you don't have to know how to do what you don't know how to do yet, and that the universe will lead the way. We all have the ability, through our thoughts, to harness the power of the universe. If that doesn't have you heading out to purchase a superhero cape and tights, I don't know what else I can say. Chapter 3. Show me the money. Early one morning while visiting my mother, I came downstairs to find her standing in the kitchen in her bathrobe, empty coffee cup in her hand, frown on her face. "We're out of milk for coffee," she informed me flatly, clearly unamused by the prospect of getting dressed and cleaned up for the brief walk down the hill into town. She announced that she'd rather just head to the store wearing her damn robe, sneakers, a baseball cap, and too much orange lipstick, and finally commit to becoming, as she put it, an interesting town character. "I'm in my 70s. I think it's time." Mom has one of the most delightful senses of humor I've ever experienced, and is hilarious in general, which is why I was so surprised when she phoned one day to inform me, mortified, that she'd just learned what the word twat meant. Really, I thought? Hadn't she been calling my brother one for years? But she was upset for real, utterly devastated, unable to find one funny thing about a word that is, come on, funny. This call came in during a time when my mother was an active member on the board of trustees in her historic and charming suburban town. During her tenure, she pleaded her case on issues that were near and dear to her heart, such as protecting her favorite park from falling into the hands of developers, planting daffodils in the median on Main Street, and keeping the road signs along the scenic town reservoir to a minimum. Apparently, it was preserving the integrity of the reservoir that caused her to place this particular call of distress to me, while face down on her bed, mumbling, "Oh God," over and over through her pillow into the phone. From what I could make out, earlier that day she'd posed an argument to a room full of upstanding and respectable fellow trustees that went something along the lines of this. "It's a slight bend in the road. Why do we need five signs with arrows on them before, during, and after the curve to alert people to the fact that they need to turn slightly to the left? The signs are an eyesore and a waste of taxpayer money, and if you're that much of a twat that you can't navigate the road without an arrow every 2 feet, you shouldn't be driving." I was then to learn that this was not the first time she'd paraded the word twat before the esteemed council. She had apparently been flinging it around for years, in response to the twats in the mayor's office, responsible for passing her least favorite ordinances, the high school twats who spray-painted Class of 2003 on the sidewalk in front of the deli, and, most passionately, the stupid idiot twat of a drunk driver who took out a foam pole on Elm Road last Halloween. "I thought it meant twit," came her muffled voice. And Ginny Adams, the head of the garden club, and a full-fledged twat in the truest sense of the word, thank you very much, is the one who pulled me aside and told me to clean up my act. Oh, God. By taking a stand to end the twittery in her community, my poor mother not only discovered the power of choosing her words wisely, but she discovered that she'd unwittingly become an interesting town character. When you don't investigate what's going on with your words, thoughts, and beliefs, you risk stumbling through life on autopilot. You may, for example, automatically assume that your beliefs are founded in your own truths, rather than perhaps the truths of your parents and or the people around you, or that your words accurately express your beliefs, instead of being mindless regurgitations of stuff you've heard before, or proof that you have a lousy handle on vocabulary. And don't even get me started on how much time we waste spinning out on thoughts that are, shall we say, less than productive. Once you wake up, become aware of your thoughts, beliefs, and words, and start choosing them wisely, you can avoid staying stuck in a life of excruciating ho-hummery, or worse, constantly being in financial struggle, or, as in Mom's case, getting reprimanded for having a potty mouth by someone who is a far inferior gardener than you are. When we don't master our minds, we risk building our lives on a foundation of flimsiness. Mastering your mindset is important in all areas of your life, and it's especially critical when it comes to money, because money plays such a massive role here on Earth. We literally can't function without it. Realizing you've left the house without your wallet is as alarming as realizing you've left your journal on the subway or forgotten grandma at the truck stop. Not a day goes by where we don't use money, or something that was paid for with money, or have an experience that is somehow connected to money. Not one single day. Money's in the roads we drive on, the food we eat, the music we listen to, the freedom we enjoy, the adventures we have, the babies we birth, the showers we take, the poems we write, the noses we blow. It's everywhere, like dust or temptation or hormones in high schoolers. And yet, we rarely, if ever, stop to investigate how we feel about money, how we speak about it, or even what the hell money actually is. So I'ma stop right now. Money is a medium of exchange. Back in ancient times, before the invention of money, people exchanged goods and services by bartering. They'd do things like build a stone wall for someone in exchange for a pile of animal pelts and a bag of salt, or trade you a castle for a couple of your daughters. Then it basically got to be too much of a pain in the ass to carry around pelts and rocks, and took too much time to build stuff. So the humans came up with the idea of money, assigned a value to the coins and notes, and now all you have to do is reach for your wallet instead of five of your best camels if you want to buy a car or something. Money is a unit of measurement used in the act of giving and receiving. Contrary to popular belief, money itself is neither good nor bad, friend nor foe, filthy nor clean. It's just blank, minding its own business, trying not to get jammed in a soda machine. Money is just the messenger. It's what you do with it and how you think, feel, and speak about it that give it personality. And depending on the personality you give it, you're either going to want to surround yourself with it or stay the hell away from it. Which is why thinking money is bad or dirty without, really thinking about it, and reinforcing these thoughts by speaking badly about it, is one of the leading causes of serious brokenness. For example, here's a little something you may have thought and or said before. Money is the root of all evil. Yes, our world is full of unspeakable horrors and injustices born out of the things people do for money, but the wrongdoing is caused by the perpetrators, not the money. It's like deciding cars are intrinsically evil because people turn into obscenity-hurling jackasses behind the wheel, or that vegetable peelers are hateful just because you sliced your finger open with one once. Money, cars, and vegetable peelers are also conduits for great joy, tasty adventures, and they all make excellent wedding gifts. In the words of the late, great Ayn Rand, money is only a tool. It will take you wherever you wish, but it will not replace you as the driver. There are lots of words in the English language whose meanings sort of seep into each other. It's easy to get confused about where one ends and the other begins. For example, love, lust. Being nice, lying. Confident, drunk. When it comes to the desire to make money, the most common term people confuse it with is greed, especially when discussing the root of all evil and other such unpleasantries. With all of these examples, taking a moment to discover the truth can save a lot of disappointment and heartache. So let's be clear. Greed, an insatiable, excessive, selfish craving for more, more, more. Another term that's oft confused with money is power mongering, wielding influence in a tyrannical and super mean way. And let us not forget ye old corrupt, morally bankrupt, focused on personal gain whilst giving nary a crap how your actions affect others or what the law says. Here are some other popular ways people use the term money incorrectly. Money ruins everything. Money and friendship are like oil and water. Money makes monsters out of otherwise good people. Pretty harsh, right? It's not like money broke into your house and punched you in the face for feck's sake. It's just trying to help you buy stuff. Here's something else that's important to realize about money if you're going to go out and make a whole lot of it. Money is currency, and currency is energy. Money is a blank slate that gets its value from the energy and meaning we give it. For example, the 50 bucks you make by raking leaves for the lady across the street has a very different energy than the 50 bucks you steal out of some guy's pocket on the subway. The same ratty chair you'd buy in a thrift store for $5 might be worth $5,000 if David Bowie had had it on his tour bus. Some artists charge $200 for their paintings. Other artists charge $20,000. When you get hired to do something and realize halfway through that you way undercharged, your payment, when it finally comes, feels like you're being handed a soggy napkin. Or, if you way overcharged, it makes you cringe, feel low down and dirty. And if you charge the perfect amount, you feel uplifted, like a superstar. Giving and receiving money is an energetic exchange between people, and your job is to consciously get your frequency in alignment with the money you desire to manifest and open yourself up to receiving it. This means getting clear on the value of the product or service you're offering, being excited and grateful instead of weird and apologetic about receiving money for it, and having total faith that this money is on its way to you instead of worrying about the possibility of its not showing up. Here's an important concept to understand. Money always comes to you through other people, but it comes from universal intelligence, as do all things. Which is why focusing on the frequency of your thoughts, not the people you hope to make money from, is the key to getting rich. For example, let's say you need to make $4,000 to fly grandma first class to the quilting convention in Nova Scotia that she's always dreamed of attending. You've decided to sell your unopened Obi-Wan Kenobi figurine to raise the money, and you've got someone seriously interested in buying it. Raise your frequency to match the frequency of the $4,000 coming toward you instead of focusing on the particular person you hope to get it from. Focus on the fact that you're giving someone the most awesome piece of Star Wars memorabilia, complete with double telescoping lightsaber, in exchange for the money you desire and deserve. Imagine Grandma chatting up the folks in first class, sipping her free champagne, soliciting suggestions on which fabric swatches to use for her quilt. Your focus needs to be on your desire for this money and what it's for, your excitement to share something of value with someone in order to obtain the money, your clarity on how joyful it will make that person, your gratitude that this money is coming to you, oh hell yes it is, and your belief that the universe has got your back. People are to money what a French fry is to ketchup. They're just the conduits. Not only is it none of your business to try to make anyone do anything, but focusing on a particular person who may or may not be the conduit for the money you seek potentially cuts you off from the person with the big bag of money that the universe is trying to connect you to. It's like deciding that you're going to attract the love of your life. You focus on the qualities this person has, your excitement over being with him, your glee that he too is searching for you. You do things like smile more often, doodle little hearts on everything, leave the house smelling like a wedding bouquet. This is your job description. You do not spend your time trying to convince the uninterested hot guy from the coffee shop with the motorcycle and nothing in common with you that you are his one true love, thereby missing out on the awesome guy at work with the big nose who's perfect for you in the process. Same goes for making money. You do the energetic work, get your thoughts, actions, and words in line with what you desire to create, and surrender the rest of the details up to the universe. It's all about the energy of exchange. I learned so much about this back in the day when I'd give my pals the friend discount / freebie for my coaching services. Devaluing my work gave them an easy excuse to devalue their efforts. They had no incentive to rise to the occasion and really push themselves because they literally weren't invested. I ended up doing all of us a disservice by lowering the frequency around the money instead of demanding we all put on our big people pants and pony up. These favors were a big fat waste of time for everyone involved and could have been avoided if I hadn't come from a place of feeling weird and shamey about charging my friends. Because money is currency and currency is energy, when you shrink down and lower your prices to accommodate someone, you're basically saying the equivalent of, I don't think you could grow and manifest the money you desire to work with me. I don't believe you're that powerful. I also don't think I have the right to charge what I'm worth or to make the decisions around here about what to charge. Not discounting my rates doesn't mean I don't donate my money in services, offer scholarships, put things on sale, etc. But I only do it if the energy around it is clean, aka coming from a place of power and possibility instead of insecurity, shame, can't, lack, I'm a greedy, bad friend, etc. Money is a renewable resource. It comes and goes. It ebbs and flows. It's meant to move. When we're cheap about spending it, or weird about receiving it, we block its natural course. We put ourselves in a place of lack instead of abundance. Our energy becomes richest interruptus. Even something as minor as leaving a big tip for a waitress, or picking up instead of passing by, a quarter laying on the street, or letting your neighbor pay you for watching her dog all day, which you totally would have done for free. That's all coming from an energy of abundance and a healthy, happy appreciation for money. What you focus on, you create more of. So if the plan is to get rich, you're going to want to focus on abundance as much as possible. Give as much as you can, as often as you can. Receive with gratitude and joy. Think of money as your pal. Raise your frequency and get in the flow, yo. Success story. If he can do it, so can you. How Joe, 40, attracted money to himself and went from making $40,000 a year to over $100,000 a year. When it came to increasing my income, I was my biggest block. I didn't think I deserved money and was overly critical of myself, which resulted in self-destruction. I started reading and listening to lots and lots of self-help books. My morning commute was an hour at the time, and I would listen to at least 2 hours daily. My turnaround started when I realized how much the universe, or God, wanted to give me all I wanted. Then I had to get out of my own way, because the trick is that you have to really want it too, to the point where you believe that it's already yours. I work in a corporate setting, and I started moving up the chain once I applied myself and shifted my mindset. I took on more responsibility and got out of my comfort zone as much as possible. What keeps me going is remembering why I started doing the work that I do in the first place. Because I love helping people, I love using my brain, I love being challenged on a regular basis, I love the camaraderie at my office. I also remember that I don't want to be stuck in the same place as I was when the project started. The sense of accomplishment is like a drug. Before, money was difficult to get. Now money is all around me, and I attract it. I normally pay for everything via credit card. However, I make it a point to have some cash in different places in my house at all times. Not so I can necessarily spend it, but more to set an unconscious reminder that money is everywhere and all I need to do is reach out and grab it. I know, corny, right? But for me, it works. It helps take away the anxiety when unexpected things happen and things get tight. Get over the fear, get to the root of the fear, and deal with it. To get rich. Suggested money mantra. Say it, write it, feel it, own it. I love money because it's the root of so much awesome. 1. Write down 5 positive words to describe money. 2. Practice saying thank you every time you receive money. Think to yourself, see, money loves me. It just can't stay away. Do a victory lap around your house. Kiss your checks. Celebrate the momentous gift of being in the flow with abundance. What you appreciate, appreciates. Do this whether money is sent to you in the mail, shows up as interest on an investment, is handed to you by a person, etc. Relish the feeling of gratitude and the joy of being in the flow with money. 3. Spend at least 5 minutes every day sitting in silence, connecting with the energy of money. Imagine money flowing all around you, filling you up, moving into and out of your heart. Also, walk around all day feeling into this as much as possible. 4. Leave money around your house in various places so you get used to seeing it all the time. Remind yourself how abundant it is. Make it like an Easter egg hunt. Please fill in the blank. I'm grateful to money because. Chapter 4. Best practices for busting yourself. Somewhere along my journey through overcoming my financial flimsiness, I attended a weekend seminar called Manifesting Money Like a Millionaire. I don't remember the specifics, but it was probably in Las Vegas, probably in some fairly cheesy hotel conference room, definitely outside my comfort zone. There was about a 3-year period in my early 40s when I went to these types of things all the time. This particular event happened sometime after I started my online business, helping writers get their book proposals done, before my business broke 6 figures for the first time, and months after moving out of Shea Garage into a house built for humans. I usually had to drag myself to these seminars because I felt so out of place at them. Not because I didn't desperately need the information, 'cause Lord knows I did, but because if any of my friends caught me there with a name tag pinned to my chest, discussing the power of gratitude in my little breakout group, participating in the call and answer, "Who's a wealth magnet? I'm a wealth magnet. I can't hear you. I'm a wealth magnet." I'd never live it down. In other words, I felt above it all. Too cool for school. Snarkosaurus Rex. Sort of like people who love to travel, tourists, and love to comment, me, about how amazing a place would be if only there weren't so many tourists. Basically, I was obsessed with the idea of self-transformation, my own in particular. I was fascinated by concepts like the power of mindset, and I realized I wanted to be a life coach at the level of the guy up on stage instead of remaining the book lady for the rest of my life. But I was embarrassed to admit to any of it because I was afraid of what the people in my life would think. This was still back in the days when life coaching was regarded with the same highly questionable legitimacy as was, and still is, psychic readings or hair growth tonics. What the hell is it anyway? Is it like therapy? Does it involve doing jumping jacks? Anyway, the event was being held by a coach I'd been following for a while, but had never worked with before. I was on his mailing list, had read all his newsletters, and came to discover that he was a brilliant and captivating speaker. For some reason, he'd say things I'd heard a million times before, and suddenly the light would go on. I'd be on my feet, fist in the air, sobbing with newfound understanding. "I am a wealth magnet, damn it. I am." Sniff. "I really am." I knew he was the guy I needed to work with to completely transform my life, my business, and crack the code to making multiple six figures consistently, easily, happily, and hopefully while holding a fruity cocktail in my hand on a beach somewhere. On the last day of the seminar, while we were all fully